Welcome to the Sarah and Vinny Secret Show, brought to you by Odyssey. This is the Sarah and Vinny Secret Show. Just a heads up, episodes sometimes include content not suitable for work and definitely not safe for kids. Now available on the Odyssey app.
Secret, I think you want to know. A dirty little secret about a secret little show.
Sarah and Vinny Secret Show for Tuesday, October 5th. Hello and welcome. It's 2021, you guys.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I just forgot to say it with the date, so thought I'd remind you.
Okay.
I wanted to start with a text I got from someone named Savvy. And I assume that's how you say their name. S-A-V-Y.
Oh, Savvy.
Savvy. Why are you all voice of God?
I just touched the knob a little bit. That was accidental.
Must have
been from the Odyssey.
Odyssey. Welcome to Odyssey. Odyssey. Thanks for joining us on The Secret Show today. I have a text number that I'll send you alerts, like remind you that we're going live at 10 o'clock or, you know, we're streaming it live, I should say, because we don't do it live. But it's a 415-358-1965. And it's, I promise I'm not hitting you with anything. It's just a way I can tell you this stuff. So this lady, Savvy, she writes to me on there, and I get a lot of stuff from people, and it's, I can't find it again. Like, someone said you should screenshot it, and you're right, except that I just don't think to do that. Now I've navigated away from it and it's not there anymore. So I said, please.
I'm with you, by the way.
Yeah, I just...
I love the useful suggestions. People who are super tech savvy often will go, oh, here's all you do. But it's these systems, these old dog, new tricks, whatever term you want to use. It's like,
I just can't seem to get my shit together to do that. Like, it's a great idea.
Right.
So instead, I tell people, look, this is a great story. And it's been broken up into 15 pieces on the text machine that I'm looking at. And if you could please put it all in one and send it to Bryn@RadioAlice.com. Like, really, anything you want to say about The Secret Show, we want to hear it. I totally appreciate your texts, but I'm going to lose it. So Savvy followed my directions and she texted, she emailed Bryn@RadioAlice.com. She says, hi, Bryn. I texted Sarah a response to one of The Secret Shows and she wanted me to send it in. Original texts are below. Feel free to say my name. Also slurps all around. I love this show so much.
Thank you.
Okay.
That's nice, right?
It's wonderful. I love it. I love that she loves it. It's 2021, guys. I'm Savvy and I wanted to text you because I'm listening to The Secret Show and I heard Nicole talking about her new neighbors. And
oh,
how
God.
They...
Are they the neighbor? Oh, shit. Okay. Continue. Oh, God.
Oh, please let it be the neighbor. Please let it be the neighbor. That's so good for our ratings.
The new neighbor that I was talking shit about. Okay, here we go.
Come on, Coco. Let it be. Let it be.
Just let this hang out there for a minute.
No, I need to know.
Oh, this is awesome. Not, shit.
You're torturing me. Can you just read the rest?
Yeah, I'll get to it.
Oh, God.
Okay. I'm Savvy. And I wanted to text you because I'm listening to The Secret Show and heard Nicole talking about her new neighbors and how they bought the house across the street and are splitting it up because their cats don't get along. I am so gutted to hear that.
Okay.
Whew. Okay. Because I put a bid in on that house.
Oh.
That place is gorgeous, and my parents live right around the corner from it. It was going to be my first house. But of course, things fell through and I didn't get it. But to hear that they are now messing with the gorgeous open layout that place had pisses me off no end.
Savvy gets it. She gets it.
Yeah. So did you guys go in there when it was an open house?
I've been in there before.
And
it's beautiful. The kitchen's beautiful. And it just has a different layout. It's a two-story, but not really from what I remember. But I didn't go in when it was an open house because it was by appointment only, I think.
Yeah, because of COVID.
COVID. So, I mean, my mom kept going in and out because she was taking furniture from them from when they were moving.
So you guys lost good neighbors.
Yeah, yeah. They've been there since my parents moved up here from L.A.
Funny.
Yeah.
How long have they lived there in Benicia?
24 years.
Oh, so you basically your whole life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you remember living in LA?
Very vaguely.
Little 3-year-old memories.
Yeah. Yeah. I know the street and everything, but vaguely.
So Savvy goes on. I feel kind of like a creeper. Because the day I went to tour the house, I saw Nicole walk out to her car and was like, so this is like right across the street from you.
I hope I was wearing a bra.
So she sees you and she says, no way, I know that lady. Of course, I didn't say anything or go out to her, but I was totally having a fangirl moment. My dad's lived in Benicia forever, so it's been so cool to hear her talk about First Street and One House Bakery. It is just a very cool connection I have to the show. So it was way cool when I thought that maybe, just maybe, I would be a neighbor of such a cool, hardworking, fabulously funny girl. But also now that I hear there are cruddy neighbors next to the place, maybe I dodged a big bullet.
As we talk about cats.
I know. So there's credit. So this is the place next to the place with the cruddy neighbors that get the cops called on them all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. So you did dodge a bullet, but then now you can't be my neighbor. Well, my parents' neighbor, because they're awesome. They're a good time. Yeah. So that sucks.
So
I'm even more pissed off because I could have a cool neighbor.
Yeah. You could have a cool neighbor. And yeah. The house, not a bunch of construction.
Yeah.
For the next 6 months.
That pisses me off.
Oh.
Oh, well.
Savvy. We'll find you a house.
Well, maybe you should, start planting stink bombs around the place that you don't like the people, and she could buy that house. Cheaper.
That's great. Wrecked
it. Yeah, no, it's Coco. A total gutter. It's a total, like, just knock it out and start from scratch, that house.
Really?
I know what you said is one of those things you say, but finding houses is so hard to, like, you'd mm-hmm. be in for a year's worth of work to help them. Like, it's impossible. And the people I know in real estate are saying, there's no inventory. Like, none.
The minute a house goes up in Benicia, it's the gone. Next, the sign is put in the grass, and then like 2 days later, it's taken out. Right. So I can imagine how hard it is.
So the thing that's trippy right now is that it's a great time to sell. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to stay in the area, it's a really bad time to try and find something new to buy. So you almost need to buy the new thing before
first.
You sell. It's a trip.
Right.
It's a bad time to be caught in between.
I've noticed, though, in my neighborhood that because a couple places have sold for just astronomical prices. And this, look, I live in a little neighborhood with little ranch houses, one next to the other. Few of them have been redone. Like, they should, I mean, when I first moved here, you could get a house in this neighborhood for like $350. Like, that's not a fancy neighborhood. And the house next door to me went on the market for $1.4 million, and we bid on it. And we lost by $400,000.
Wow.
Oh.
And it went for 2.1 million. And it is.
Oh my God.
I know. And it's a 2-bedroom, 1-bath, 1,100 square foot. It's on a good lot, but it's a teardown.
Yeah.
Basically, I mean, you've seen it, Bryn.
They're paying for the lot.
They're buying that lot for 2.1. Like, it's friggin' untouchable now. And like, apparently there were 30 bids on this place or some huge amount. But these people were like, in fact, the day that the bids were being accepted, because we got our shit together, we're like, well, let's try and buy it. It'll be a good, we'll fix it up. We'll sell it. The market's hot, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And we thought we put in a good offer. No. About 20 minutes after we started going, hey, I wonder when we're going to hear if we got this house or not, some lady screeches up in a car, yanks the sign out of the ground, throws it in the back, and takes off. I'm like, well, I guess we didn't get it. Because that's suspicious. They did like 2-1, all cash, 3-day close. Fuck you.
Damn.
I know. And no one's been over there since. Like, they're clearly just going to knock that thing down and
yeah.
build.
Well,
house.
I know that. I know we recently we've been busy, but we also were told that the apartment that I've had for many years that has nothing to do. We didn't even have kids when I got that thing.
Right. Oh, I don't even know if you were with Dusty when you got that thing.
I might have been dating her, but we definitely weren't living together yet. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I was told by someone I know in real that he's like, you know, Peter Cook, LighthouseRealty.com.
Hello, shame.
Shame.
Yeah.
He's like, dude, we can get that that thing right now. Let's do this. Which I was like, but it's so much more than that. It's not just like, yes, it'll sell fast, but then what do we flip that money into? There is no real estate available that would be, it's like, now
if that's what it costs for that place, what are you going to have to take on to?
Right. But more importantly, the amount of time it would take to A, be ready with all your financials in place, but B, go searching every weekend until you find the thing that's going to be the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I just went, I don't want to.
Well, if you're looking to get in, do it. I tell my kid this all the time. Real estate is the single best investment you can make, because even if the whole world tanks, you've got the house, you're in the house, you know,
right?
It's, you've got shelter, at least for the time being, you know. It's just it never goes anywhere but up. I mean, maybe there's corrections and you live through that, and then 10 years later the house is worth more, right, Bryn? Bryn, your house is, I bet there's some hot action for your house in your neighborhood too. You kidding me? Where you live, it's paradise. Everybody knows
paradise.
Now
it's great out here. Yeah, I mean, most places in the Bay Area are just getting scooped up as soon as they go in the market.
It's just ridiculous.
I actually love going around. I take Cameron around looking at houses. We don't go inside because of the whole COVID thing, but I drive up to houses, try to peek in. Sometimes I go through the back door and look in the
backyard.
Nice,
I like that.
So fun.
No, you gotta go at night, like right when those timers come on, especially for the open house. You know, all those lights are on timers.
Oh,
you gotta
go in the afternoon, the weekends.
You gotta go at the right time, because then the timers on inside, those lights come on, so you can kind of see in.
Then you can peek in. Yeah. Good. I mean, I have definitely broken into countless homes in the course of looking at
it.
Yeah. Well, if something comes up in your neighborhood and stuff, or even like one, you're like, wow, I really like this house and stuff, you sneak around, you jiggle all the doors, and I found an open door. In we go.
It's open.
Oh my
in
God.
We go.
I'll
do it.
Sale. You're not trying to do anything.
Yeah, I'm not going to like steal anything.
She never does that.
I'm not kidding. I am a B&E expert.
I'm not gonna say
I have a hairpin on me, but because
I've done that once.
Are you hairpinned in?
A hairpin?
No, not the hairpin. Just walk.
Try the door. If it's unlocked, you just go in.
It's an invitation, right?
Yeah, it's empty.
I didn't break an entry.
No, place is empty.
I didn't force my way in. Okay,
right. I just entered. I didn't break and enter. I opened the door and entered. So what?
That's right.
You're probably not the only one. Lots of people do that. Anyway, bunch of fucking assholes around here. So there you go, Savvy. Thank you.
Thanks,
so
Savvy.
Much for your.
That's really funny, actually.
It is really cute. I have a response to the depressed spouse. We talked about this yesterday. Hey, y'all. Yeah. Yes. Yesterday.
Huh.
We
okay.
Right. That was
I don't
when
know.
We mm-hmm. talked about the every 5 years this guy goes through a massive depression.
Oh, a funk, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so this is from V, not Hale, just V.
Uh-huh.
Hey, y'all, I have no professional training with mental health issues, but I have lots of personal experience with depression in myself and my family. It runs in both my and my husband's families. My son might be screwed. The wife of the depressed spouse has taken on a caretaker role without realizing it. Her husband is ill. In his mind, she's left with extra burdens, a partner who can't be a partner, and expectations of both of them that are bound to be disappointed as they navigate his healing. Her feelings of rejection, resentment, and anger are normal, and it will be possible for her. And it will be impossible for her not to take the effects of his illness personally. Their love for each other is what will get her/them through. But she needs support to manage her natural anger and resentment the same as she would if her husband had cancer or Alzheimer's. This aspect of caregiving for the person who cares for someone with mental illness is often lost and forgotten when the primary focus is on the person who is ill. A more holistic approach that encompasses therapy and compassion for everyone in the family will be much more effective in getting them through this depression. This time and the next, and the one after that, and the one after that. Yeah. Wishing them both the best, V. And I think that she had said he was going to go to some therapy and they were going to go to like a couples thing together. And I think we suggested that she should also go talk to someone. Like I think it feels good to just get things off your chest and have someone there who commiserates and helps you and maybe sets a plan for how to deal.
Yeah, I mean, that's you can imagine as you shift from partnership to caregiver and back and forth, that that can get, especially as you, maybe there are signs it's coming on,
right?
And you start to see it coming and you just think, how long will this last? What is going to come
right
up this time? Like, that stuff's tough. It's, you know, Partners of Addicts deal with this kind of thing too, where there's a lot of caregiver element to it. If this person has relapsed or whatever, it's unfortunately she's already in love with this person, so it's too late to say don't right. marry or fall in love with someone. I mean, it's, I know that sounds terrible, but that's how it's going
to
go.
If you had the choice, maybe right. you would choose not to.
Right.
Yeah, it's a, you know, it's funny because you bring up addiction too, and I've often thought to myself, like, who the fuck has 30 days to check out of life? And that's what it comes to for some people. Like, they're going into rehab again, and it's expensive, and you're not there, and someone who is now single parenting the kid, I mean, that is, it's a huge burden.
Well, that to answer that question, so to speak, you know, who has the time? The other result of that is they end up out of their life entirely.
Right.
Like, I mean, that person is if you landed in rehab, your life is coming undone.
Right.
That's what that means. And you're this is like a last ditch effort to get to stop the bleeding and straighten your course. And it doesn't always take, as it did not for me.
How many times would you say you went through rehab programs?
Oh, I didn't. I only went to rehab once.
Oh, the one here. Oh, really?
I only went to rehab one time.
And it didn't take.
No, I would. This is what I will recommend to anybody, even more so than rehab. I would recommend AA. That's what I recommend. I'm not going to say much more than that, but that is, it's free, it's daily, it works, and there certainly are stigmas attached to it, and not every house or building or room that you go to is as good as the next one, so you kind of got to shop around and find a room you feel comfortable in where you can really focus on yourself and get your shit together, and you have a daily support group place you can go, because the truth is rehab does take you out of your life and it will get you sobered up because you can't get drugs in there.
Right.
But then it drops right you right to back the life in. You were living. So yeah. There's no, that's unfortunate reality, is you come out and you go, I've got 30 days, but you don't have any days outside in the real world.
No. No days with the normal stresses of your and situations right. that your life puts you in. As a lot of, and I know, I get it, we're totally tangenting here, but you know, I've seen a lot of people. I have a couple friends and one very specifically who is just not well, and I know that I'm a part of the problem for him, and it's, and I, when he's saying, oh, I want to see you, I'm like, that's not a great idea. I cannot drink this weekend and see you, but I've got to be a trigger for you. Like, we've never been anything but drunk around each other. Like, it's, you know what I mean? Mm. Like, you have to, you kind of have to cut all of that out of your life. You can't just be like, I'm cured and I'm going to go hang with my friends and I'll be the designated driver. Like, that's not going to work. You can't go to 30 days, be sober and drop back into the same situations that got you to that point to begin with. Those right. people have to be gone. And it's tough if you're married to someone who is an alcoholic or whatever, and you're also part of the problem. You go have drinks. You guys spend time doing it. I mean,
there's a lot. And there's a lot for this lady who's dealing with a guy who has depression. Right, I mean, that is a situation where she's going to go, I don't want to. I don't want to be a caregiver. I have enough things that I have to do. Like, or, and I shouldn't put that in her head, but I'm saying, or in her mouth for her, but a lot of people would have that reaction to that. I wanted to marry a partner, and now I find myself having to caregive. It's tough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's cool what V, the person, the emailer, wrote about kind of shining a light on the aspect of caregiving for the person who's the caregiver.
right?
This person taking care of somebody else. It takes a huge toll on your mental health.
Yeah. They even talk about that with like siblings. Like one of them has cancer, which is absolutely fucking tragic. Like childhood cancer. Like name something worse than that. And then, but then there's these other, then now everything is about this kid. And then there's these kids, they have actual programs where siblings of kids who are going through this get to go and they're the star of the show that, you know, that, that they get to have some attention and some focus put on them. Yeah. It's wicked hard. That one bums me out because we all know that person or we are that person that just, you're in a funk and you just, there's nothing for it. And you just have to say, you know, I mean, I guess unless I know plenty of people who are on a daily drug.
Meds, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm. And they're better for it. I know some people who are in a good place. And I watched them go up and down for all the time I knew them. And the last few years, pretty steady. Pretty good.
Good.
But this is a guy who, this happens to every 4 or 5 years. So does he just get on drugs when he's feeling this way? Or is this something that he's got to, it's like a daily medication
thing? She's got to go get help. Mm-hmm. That's the bottom line. We can't help this lady. Yeah. She's got to go get, bring him, go get the help you were planning to go get. Get help for yourself. There's no way to, we could talk this to,
right?
We could do 10 shows on this. This is what she married. She's got to deal or divorce him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, by the fifth show, we'd probably get a therapist on, an extra certified person who can give some. You know,
I mean, that's just what it comes down to. It sucks. You know, you hope you choose and you choose well. And people who get that run down the aisle disease, like, I'm so in love with you. Do you know him well enough yet? Are you sure?
Right. Well, didn't she say she'd been through it once with him, and then right around the wedding time, and.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, good luck to you. And I hope that we pointed you in the right direction, at least, with our terrible advice. This went completely non sequitur. I don't remember talking about whether or not Scott Capurro took long showers. Emily is saying, Sarah, didn't you mention that Scott Capurro takes long showers?
I think he said that
he
about himself.
That, uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have no idea. He was kidding though, right? He was just joking because we're in a drought and he doesn't go there and take long showers.
The thing about Scott is, yes, I do think, and you know, comedy is often, there's truth in comedy. That's the reality.
Right.
And that's why when he jokes about his legacy, you go, oh, he's just joking. But then he has yelled at us, too, like, you guys and all your money and your regular jobs. I'm an artist. I don't have any money. Of course I have a lot of credit debt. And all of a sudden you go, oh, my fucking God,
this is feeling
God,
like
dude.
We've hit a nerve.
What the fuck? Like, what are we? So us living our lives somehow means. Anyway, sometimes Scott is just joking. Other times. There is a hard reality underlying that thing. So I don't know what to make of his 20-minute
showers. I'm
going to
say he was joking about the 20-minute showers. The other stuff, not so sure. But the showers, doesn't he care about the environment? Isn't he like some Ayurvedic bullshit thing? I mean, that has to somehow correlate with caring about the environment and the drought.
I don't know either. Contradiction happening there, so whatever.
Emily says, after listening to the Secret Show episode about how much Edson doesn't return the sexual favors, it makes me wonder if that's the reason he takes such long showers. What's really going on in there?
What could
be going on?
Well, when you're 12, you masturbate in the shower because there's a lock on the door. But when you're 57, how old is he now?
He's got it. Well, it might even be 58. He's 54 years older than me.
I think it's likely you can just masturbate wherever you want. It's your house.
Yeah. Edson might even like that. I think he's just kidding about the long showers, and they seem to have it all worked out. He was telling me that they're getting a little more experiment. Like, supposedly Scott's asking for more stuff.
Well, you'd hope, but
yeah. Yeah, I
whatever. I mean,
I put my foot down. I'm getting a BJ once a month now.
Put my foot down. Scott. Scott's playing
because that's fun
this weekend.
To force someone into giving you a BJ.
Yeah. Oh my God, I can't think of anything more fun than that. I'd love to.
Remember, you promised. it's time. It's been 35 days. In fact, you're late. Now I'm going to sit here. Give me a boner and then finish me off.
It's hotter when they hate it. Hilarious.
Maybe.
Not funny.
Right.
Anyway, there's the Scott Capra thing. Listen, we're always open to your Secret Show bad advice, problems and situations. Mm-hmm. And also responses to other ones. I think actually that lady V responding to the other one, I think that's, you know, we're a little community of people who care.
Right.
So send those along to Bryn@RadioAlice.com. And that's going to do it for today's Secret Show. Magic words, Vincent.
The end.